We're starting a new series this week called The Walk of Faith. Now, we're going to start in Galatians chapter 3. Now, it's called The Walk of Faith, but what you kind of subtitle this is Hindsight is 2020. It is The Walk of Faith, but this is what I want to get us to this morning. I've heard people say, I don't have any faith. I want to deal with that. I want to deal with you saying you have no faith. I've heard people say, people in the body of Christ say, I have no faith. Can I say something? If you have no faith, you are not saved. If you are saved, you have faith. Which honestly, I believe the most difficult thing you can believe God for in the natural is to believe for your salvation. That you did nothing, that you accepted the works of our God, and that He, by Him dying on the cross, and you just believing in your heart and confessing it with your mouth, are saved. Yeah. You're now going to heaven. Well, did you pay anything? No. Did you have to do any works? No. Well, how? By faith. So if you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can move mountains. If you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I don't have enough faith for that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. God said, I have given every man the measure of faith. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're basically going to look back at how we got saved. And let's just look at that. There's principles. I hope you're like me. Well, maybe you, when after I said that, you're here like, Lord, I hope I'm not like him. Maybe that was your thought right when I said that. But this is for me, I like the way things work. Yep. And when I was a kid, I'd take everything apart to see how it worked. Now, the good news is I would put it back together and it would work. I don't remember one thing I took apart that I put back together that didn't work. Now, I did have a screw or two left over every once in a while, but it still worked. It works. I remember I was dumbfounded and amazed at can openers. Electric can openers. And I waited till my mother was gone and I opened that thing up to see how it worked. I remember one time I got caught on this one. You remember when TVs were not flat screens, they would be big tubes. I took that thing apart. I wanted to see what was going on in the side there. Dad came home a little early. Oh. I remember him saying, you better put that apart and it better work. It worked perfectly fine after I put it apart. Put it back apart. So this morning we're going to look at the beginning of our faith. We're going to look at the beginning. This is where we're going to start our series, The Walk of Faith. Now, Galatians 3:1, are you ready? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? All right. We could just stop there and think for a few moments. I really think this could be stated to the church today. Oh, foolish church. We call it the American church, whatever church you want to call it. Wisconsin, denominations, you just put anything in there you want. Who has bewitched you? There are doctrines going along today that are nothing but bewitched. And we're not talking about a nice little TV show with this little woman who can move her nose. I can't do that. I tried. That you should not obey the truth. We have a lot of churches, a lot of Christians that do not obey the truth. I'm not saying they messed up. I'm saying they live in a manner that does not obey the truth. They live a lifestyle that does not obey the truth. There are churches that try to make you believe that there is no truth. All right. It goes back to the scripture that says they shall call good evil and evil good. That's right. We are in those days. We are so close to the second coming of Jesus, it ain't even funny. I am so excited. Amen. I literally started thinking about the second coming of Jesus, and I'm like, I've got to see it. It is happening in my lifetime. I know the lifetime before me thought that, but they were wrong. I'm right. Okay? All right. Verse 2, are you ready? Oh, wait. We didn't read all of this one. Obey the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been eventually set forth, crucified among you. Verse 2, this only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? This is a question. He's asking the church a question. He's basically stating here,
Have you got what you have received from God by the spirit of the working of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish that you've begun in the spirit and now you're made perfect by the flesh? You know, the church, let's go back to the beginning, the day of Pentecost. The church was birthed in the move of the Spirit of God. Look where we are today. There are churches who will say, we don't, that died with the last disciple. There's churches who say, well, it's only for special gifts. Only certain people can do it, not everybody. Well, then you point them to Acts chapter 2 that says these gifts are for everyone as long as Jesus tarries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These gifts, what it was a gift? The Spirit of the Lord was a gift. All right, we're not talking about that. That's coming soon. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit soon, but not today. If you start this way, if the church started this way, God said, what do you think in your own natural mind? You're going to grow a kingdom better than the kingdom I designed? And can I say this? If you think you want to live life outside the church, everything God brings is through the church. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher is all designed. This is God's design. Sure is quiet in this place. I'm telling you, God's design was the church, not man's. God even told us later, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together, especially in the latter days. I had a missionary very recently tell me, well, I'm doing everything I do outside the church. And then I looked right at him and said, everything you do is in vain. I said, because you're telling me you can do it better than the system God designed. Well, I haven't found a church I like. I said, that ain't my fault, is it? It takes a word to deliver you.
Right.
That, you know, it's fine to hear a little bit of fluff if you don't need no deliverance.
That's right.
But this is it. We're going to be a church more powerful than the church that Jesus left.
Amen.
And it takes the word to accomplish that.
Right.
We're working on it. I ain't cleaning house. I hate cleaning house. I'm just going to give you the tools to clean your own cotton picking house. If I was cleaning your house all day, I wouldn't have time to clean my own. So this word was sent forth for you to heal you. For you to get you in line. I had somebody read my mail. I had me like, that's a felony. I ain't reading your mail. That was a joke. Good Lord, what's wrong with you people? Laugh a little bit. It's all right. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, that you try to be made perfect in the flesh? I'm thankful for 12 steps, okay? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for knowledge. I'm thankful for all this stuff. But you better put Jesus in it.
Right.
You better put Jesus in it.
Because
that stuff will help, but it ain't going to hold you when everything falls apart.
Right.
When everything falls apart, the only thing that's going to hold you is Jesus. Because when your feet, if your feet are on 12 steps, guess what? That's on the sand. It'll wash out. The fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Bible says, that's what we stand on. And Jesus told Peter, I will build my church on that knowledge.
Amen.
And the church, the gates of hell shall come against them, and they shall not prevail.
That's right.
So you better have Jesus in your life.
Amen.
You can't start out in the spirit and then perfect it by the flesh. You can try to fast from sin. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm going to stop that sin. I feel so bad when I sin. Felt good when you did it. I feel horrible. Unless you get the Lord, if you're trying to do everything, getting rid of sin in your own natural self, it won't work.
That's right.
It won't work. Sin will beget more sin. Sin will produce more sin. And as long as you're sin conscious, that's what you're going to push to the forefront of your life.
That's right.
And you're going to constantly be fighting temptation. And temptation's going to pop up everywhere you are.
That's right.
You better mix Jesus into it. You better get the word. The word was sent to deliver them. All right, where did I leave off? You're paying attention? Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain that be yet in vain? Verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by hearing of the faith? And even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him unto righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I want you to say, I am a child of Abraham.
I am a child of Abraham.
If you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God says you are a child of Abraham. Therefore, the promises that were given unto Abraham are promises that were given unto you.
That's right.
Oh, that's exciting this morning. Verse 8, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. I ain't calling nobody here a heathen, but you know. You were justified through faith. You were made a heathen no more. Oh, you better thank God for that. Some of you were a little more heathen than others. I ain't pointing nobody out. And the scriptures foreseen, we already read that when Abraham say, oh, verse 10, right? Nine. Thanks for paying attention. And so then they which be of faith are blessed with faith, blessed with faithful Abraham, or with Abraham, for as many as were of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to them, or to the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for that the just shall what? Shall live by faith. The just shall live by what?
Faith.
So we better have something about faith. I had someone tell me recently, I get classified as a lot of things. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
I don't classify myself in a lot of things. I don't. I've been classified, and I'm trying to think of all the words that people have taught and said that I am. Free evangelical, I've been called that. Word of faith, I've been called that. I've been called, I've been called some things I'm not going to repeat. Yeah, I've been called a lot of things when it comes to denominations, and they tell me what I am. Oh, what was that one? I remember I had to actually look that one up. A Zionist. I was called a Zionist. I mean, like, I got to look that up. I know where Zion is, but it's like, I don't know. At the time, I was like 19. I didn't even know what a Zionist was, so I had to look it up. So I've been classified in a lot of things, and I don't classify myself in any of them. I like to classify myself as a preacher of the Word of God.
Amen.
Boom. And so I like to classify myself as someone who believes the Word of God.
Amen.
I like to classify myself as somebody who walks in faith. Yes. And so someone told me, he said, you know, you were the faith people. You were the faith people. I'm like, yes. People call me all things, and I just normally say, yes. And they're like, you want a faith people. Faith is done and gone away with. We are in a new age. I'm like, please enlighten me. I would love to know what age we're in now, because I have missed it. And they said, we are in an age of grace. Faith is needed no more. I said, really? That is fascinating. Tell me more. They began to tell me more and more as they got excited, more excited. I got more excited with them. And you know what? At the end, I'm like, Lord, should I say anything? And I'm like, No. You ain't changing their mind at all. So I just shook their hand and said, thank you so much for the info. Appreciate it. And I walked away. But this is it. I'm going to tell you something. We are in the church age. That's where we are. We are in the age of the church. That is the age that we are, and that church, that hasn't died. You know when the church will go away? When Jesus returns. That's when the day of the church, or the day of the church, the age of the church goes. We had the age of the law. Come on. Let's go back, my little Bible students here. We have certain ages through history. When Jesus died and rose again, we came into the day, the age of the church. That's the age that we're in. And that will not go away until Jesus returns. So you know what that means? All the promises in him are yes, and in him, amen. So that means grace is in operation. Faith is in operation. All this is in operation. And guess what? The Bible tells me that all this stuff will pass away, but the word will never pass away.
Amen.
Faith will continue all the days of our life.
Amen.
I had someone close to me and said, this new wave. Oh, this is the last wave. I said, no, it'll come and go. What wave am I talking about? None of your business. That was a private conversation. And I said, this will come and pass. No, it won't. This is the one. I'm like, no, it'll come and pass. If Jesus tarries, it will come and pass. And the church, for some reason, will hang on to one doctrine and act like that is everything. How about this? Let's grab onto the Bible and say, this is everything. Let's quit thinking, well, this is a move of the Spirit. If speaking in tongues is going to bring back the second coming of Jesus Christ. No, God is going to bring back the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Even Jesus Christ doesn't know when he's coming back.
Right.
It says God and God alone knows.
Right.
The devil doesn't know. Jesus doesn't know. The Antichrist, this is what I love. We're just going to skim on some things really quickly here. The devil does not know who the Antichrist is going to be. He doesn't know when Jesus is coming back, so therefore he can't know. You know what he has to have? Someone always ready. Can't you imagine that he thought Hitler was it? Oh, man, maybe Stalin. Maybe Alexander the Great. I don't know. I'm sure he had this happen, and people thought, man, this is it. This is what's going to bring the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is going to do it. Can you imagine that? And then the devil getting so disappointed when Hitler died. Yeah, I don't know what he says, but I'm sure it wasn't appropriate. Shucky darn. I feel like I was wrong again. But he always has to be ready. Right. Do you know what? The church should be more ready than the enemy. Yeah. We should be living every day like Jesus is coming. Yeah. Now, I'd say financially plan like he's never coming in your lifetime. But live like he's coming every day. Because let me tell you something. Be like, well, I don't want to leave all that money behind. Trust me, the world's going to need it. Yes. Let them take it. You're going to be glad that they had it. All right, so I'm going to give you an overview of the scriptures we just read. I'm going to give you a synopsis. Are you ready? You got to start listening better. Let's pray real quick, because I feel like I need prayer on this, because I could hop around for 3 or 4 hours. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. I'm so thankful for the word. Help me to stay on target. Help me to deliver the word that you have given me. And Father, may it not fall upon deaf ears, but upon good ground. May it cultivate in their hearts. May they see how to apply it to their life. May they never be the same. And may we expand your kingdom. May we expand your power on this earth. Father, we're so excited about the work of your Son. And thank you for his second coming. We look for it every day. We look for it. Help us to be vessels of honor. Help us to be disciples of Jesus. Show us how. And we will follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's get a synopsis of this scripture. You ready? Verse 1. We have sidetrack believers. They started off right, but they got off. This still happens in the body today. Oh, who bewitched you? Now, verse 2, it says that they were saved by faith. They received the Spirit, and that Spirit is the new birth by, not a trick question here, faith. There you go. By faith. Verse 3, you grow by. Okay, oh, you're catching on. There's a subject to this matter that we're reading here. Okay, so verse 4, you have victory in tribulations by
faith.
Oh, y'all are catching on. Verse 6 through 9, Abraham is the father of our
faith.
Now, what he was doing there was he was speaking to the Jews and saying, hey, look. Now, the Gentiles are coming in through Abraham. The same faith that you had. Because the Jews were saying, okay, the Gentiles could come in, but it ain't the same thing. And they're going to have to do all these works like we had to do. And he's pointing back saying, no. Abraham is the father of us all. The heathen come in. I'm trying to think. The Goheems. Is that right? The Goheems. That's right. If you don't know what a Goheem is, you are one. You're either Jew or you're Goheem. There's the rest of the world. And we're part of that. We're part of the heathens. But the heathens have an opportunity to get into the kingdom of God. And this is what Paul was stating to them. They're coming in through the same father. They're coming in through the father of our faith. And they're part of the promises. Now, verse 10 through 11. Once we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And it interests me. Christians try to please God so much by their works and obeying the law. And they forget Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look, you're going to have works. I'm not, you don't get me wrong. You don't leave this place and say, we don't have to do anything. We've accepted Jesus. We're saved. Woo! You are saved. You're on your way to heaven. Works will not get you into heaven. Works will never get you into heaven. And you better thank God about that. Because somebody's always going to have more works than you do. No matter how good you are at something, there's somebody always better.
There's somebody. What a motivational speech this morning, Pastor. Someone's always better than me. That I'm trying to get you to understand is that it's not by your works. Now, you will produce works. You will produce works. An apple tree produces apples. Why? Because it's an apple tree. It ain't trying to prove it's an apple tree. That apple tree doesn't sit there for years. Apples! Apples! Not yet. Apples! And then all of a sudden, an apple. And he said, see, I told you I was an apple tree. I told you I was an apple tree. Pecans don't produce pecans to try to prove it's a pecan tree. You know why pecans produce pecans? Because pecan pie. That's why. No, I'm just kidding. But he ain't trying. The pecan trees produce pecans because that's what they are. Christians produce good works because that's who you are. And the more Jesus you get on the inside of you, the more word you get on the side of you, the more works you will produce. And the works do not come because you're trying to prove or get into heaven. The works are coming because God has already approved you and you're just becoming more like God. Amen. The more like God you become, the more works you produce. It's not trying to get there. If I could just do enough stuff, if I could just try to stop looking at that stuff I'm not supposed to be looking at, or drinking what I'm not supposed to be drinking, doing what I'm not supposed to be doing. If I could just go a week. You're focusing on the wrong thing.
That's right.
You need to focus on becoming more like Jesus. And the more like Jesus you become, the more works you produce. It's not the more works you produce, the more like Jesus you become. See, that's what the church has taught way too long. And that's what Christians have thought. If I could just do enough good works, I'll be like Jesus. No. If you could just be like Jesus, you'll produce more good works.
Amen. Okay.
Now, let's go back, verse 1. But, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It almost sounds like Paul's trying to be cute with these people. Oh, like Paul's being polite. He's saying it in a nice term. I looked it up in the Greek. You want to know what he said?
What?
Okay. Are you? It's pretty good. It's pretty good. He basically said, the word foolish here is basically the word stupid. He said, oh, stupid Galatians, who has hypnotized you? One translation puts it this way. Oh, Galatian idiots. Who has hypnotized you? God's word puts it this way. You stupid bunch of Galatians. Who put you under an evil spell? Paul ain't being cute. Paul's being in your face. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Unless you're moved by the Lord, I wouldn't call people stupid. I think you should be moved by the Lord. Unless it's your family, then you go ahead and do what you need to do. Unless it's your children. All right. Now, basically what Paul was saying here, I looked it up in the Thesaurus. Are you ready? Stupid knuckleheads, nincompoops, numbskulls, bird brains, dimwits, ignoramuses, morons, nitwits, idiots. Who has hypnotized you? Can you imagine the church service starting off and the missionaries start off that way talking to you? Or maybe wrote you a letter and that's how he started it off. That's nice. How many Christians would be like, you know what? He's right. Who has hypnotized you that you should not obey the truth? Therefore, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evident. That word means clearly. It means clearly and then set forth crucified among you. It was clear to you at once. At one time in your Christian walk, your faith was clear. And he says, all of a sudden, it's become foggy. Now, you might feel like that today. When you accepted Jesus, let's all go back. Everybody remember when they accepted Jesus? Some of you got accepted as a child. You know, you don't remember. I grew up in the church. That's fine. But remember when it came alive to you? It was clear. Some of you may feel like it's foggy this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. God can cut through the fog. He can cut through them. You might feel like everything is just with right and wrong and what's politically correct and what people are telling you is right, what people are telling you is wrong. And God, some people are like, that book is archaic. It doesn't work that way. Marriages don't work that way anymore. Dating doesn't work that way anymore. Life isn't that way in the world anymore. There is a new normal. The world will always have a new normal. But God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If the church has a new normal, it's just because they're moving into the thing that they should have been standing in the whole time.
Amen.
There is no new normal with God. There is no new norm for the church unless it has not been standing in the power that God has told it to stand in. The just shall live by
faith.
So this morning, let's cut through all the fogginess. And recognize that Jesus was the same today, yesterday, and forever. Hebrews 11 and 1. Let's go there. Now, this is a very familiar scripture when we teach on faith. Now, I will tell you that this is going to be probably the least exciting message in this series. So you hook up with me and you stay with me. But we got to lay a foundation here to get into some other things.
Amen.
And the foundation of faith. Faith works the same. This is what I was talking about. I like to see how things work. You need to see how faith works so you understand its operation.
Amen.
And when you understand how it operates, you can use it every time. You can use it every time. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This lets us know that faith goes against the five senses. Eyes were made to see with, not to believe with. Ears were made to hear with, not believe with. The hands were made to feel with, not believe with. What you see, hear, and feel can change. It can all change. But the Word of God never changes. It does not mean, let me be very clear. I don't like this. I don't like people trying to ignore circumstances. I will tell my daughter last night ran 102 degrees. I would not look at her and say, "You are not sick." The fact of the matter is, at that very moment, she's running a temperature.
Right.
She's running a temperature. Her body is getting rid of something that's not right in her body.
Right.
It's working through something. Now, faith says, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. We laid hands on her immediately, commanded her body to come in line, and you know what else I did? I gave her ibuprofen.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Medicine is not the devil.
No.
It's given to us by the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Now, there's some medication that might be of the devil.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure of it. Have you seen the commercials? It'll cure a headache, but it will kill you. It'll make you pee bleed when you pee. I've seen some of those. It's like the side effects are worse than what I'm taking the medication for.
Exactly.
All right. So you better have faith when you take the meds. Thank you, Jesus. And so faith does not deny reality. It does not deny reality. Your faith does not deny your checkbook. Oh, I'm going to moonwalk right out of this place. Faith does not deny your checkbook. Faith does not increase your checkbook when you go to the mall and see something you want or electronic store.
Mm-hmm.
Faith does not write checks that you can throw on the ground and they bounce back up in your hand. Yeah, that's not faith. That is not faith. That's presumptuous. That's foolishness. We're going to get into faith. All right. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. Turn there. If my body's fighting something, I don't deny what my body's fighting. But I do not deny that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. I do not deny the power of God. I do not deny the power of God. I have come into my office and I have told Annette, because she's there, I've told him that I need you to lay hands on me. I need you to pray. And this is what we need to pray for. And we've done it. And then you know what I did? I laid down and I rest. And I allowed the word of God to work in my body. I have, speaking of laying down and rest, there's a little bench in her office. I have laid down and said, "Annette, wake me up in 10 minutes, 15. And she was so sweet, she let me sleep for 20. Now, don't you think that all I do is sleep at my office. But we do not deny the circumstances, but we do not deny the power of God either.
2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk in the natural life, we rely on things. In the natural life, we rely on our five senses to walk. We walk in life, we rely on natural senses. You rely on your sight? I do too. And for those who don't have sight, they have a stick. I don't know what those sticks are called, but they have one. We rely on feel. We rely on touch. We rely on hearing. We rely on these things to walk in our natural life. We rely on these things. And so what God is saying here is in faith, there's something else we rely on. The inner man is what sees. It doesn't come by the eyes or the ears or the mouth or the hands. It doesn't come that way. It comes through our inner man. It comes through our spirit man, which came alive when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. Now, the word walk here is, it's the Greek word peripa. It's from two words put together. Ready? Peripateo. 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 From, yep, a hairy potato. That's right. It came from peri, which means around, and pateo, which means step. It means step. So basically, it's describing what you do when you step. You move your feet around, you pull it up front, and you walk. You walk. You put one foot in front of the other, you swing it around, and you walk. That's what it's simple, right? You're like, why in the world are you telling it it's so simple? Because this is your faith walk. It's so simple. It might seem very hard when you're 11 months, but it becomes a walk, a natural thing of life for us. And when we walk in our faith, we're not walking like we walk in the natural. We're not relying on the senses in the spirit where we're in faith. We're relying on the inner man that became alive to the things of God. And the more you walk, the better you become. My 1-year-old right now, she's doing awesome. She is up and walking everywhere. But every once in a while, she gets off balance and she falls on her butt. Falls on her butt, right? And so this is the thing. She gets back up. And this is graphic, but every parent talks about poop. So if you're not a parent, you're not going to talk about poop. But sometimes there's stuff in that diaper. And she walked by you and you know there's stuff in that diaper. And you're like, don't fall, don't fall. Because the last thing you want to do is scrubbing more than you have to. Parent understands that. And so you try to grab her before she falls. Because you don't want that smushing up in places and having to wipe that off even harder than you already have. You already got a dirty job. You don't want to make it dirtier. And so there's some of us that are new to the things of God, and we're walking around, and we got some crap that we're dealing with. And sometimes we fall, and the crap gets worse than what it was before we fell. And so therefore, we get upset with ourselves because we're stumbling, but we're carrying all this crap with us. This is a little graphic this morning. But it's about as graphic as I'm going to get with it. But the thing is that our Father, He'll try to catch us before we fall. He's going to catch us before we fall. But the thing is, even if we did fall, and it was our own cotton-picking fault, if it was our fault, we'd fail, and we messed the mess up even more messier than it was to begin with, God's still big enough to deal with our mess. Still big enough to deal with our mess. So it is a walk, and it is easy. Faith is not hard, it's easy. Now, in the natural, it may seem hard, but in the spirit, this is easy. It becomes second nature to us. Romans 10 and 8. Romans 10 and 8. I'm going to start. Y'all go ahead. If you don't get there, we're going to John 20, 24 next. So you can find John. And we're going to switch there right after this. But Romans 10 and 8, we're going to say it this way. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is in your mouth. The word is in your heart. The word is nigh unto you. And it is the word that you preach. You confess, you talk. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, not might be, but you will be. You are, right then, saved.
right at that moment,
Amen.
You're saved. Now, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart, notice it didn't say with sight, hearing, or touch.
Right.
Or taste, or anything else. It said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I want you to notice two words here. And I want you to underline this. I want you to put this, whatever you do, if you highlight it, if you put little stars, whatever you do to bring this attention out to yourself, make sure you do this. For the heart, man believeth unto what?
Righteousness.
So I want you to underline unto righteousness. And then I want you to underline unto salvation. Now that word unto means resulting in. Resulting in. So we could say it this way. For the heart man believeth, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made resulting in salvation. So when you expect when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you have didn't accept that with your physical eyes. You didn't see him. Now, I know you can get all spiritual on me. I've had people get spiritual on me. I was there. The Bible says I was there. I'd seen him. I understand that. Yeah, I got it. But you physically did not see it with your eyes. You believed it. And this is, and it resulted. Let's look at it. Where you got it up for me. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Or it believes, I have to look at it the way I wrote it here. Resulting in righteousness. Believing resulted in righteousness. So when you believe the word, it brings you to a place to accept the manifestation of it.
Yeah.
Believing brings you to accepting the manifestation. Oh, I wish you could understand how powerful that statement truly is. When you believe the word of God, it brings you to a place to accept the manifestation of the word of God. So the first thing that comes is believing.
Yes.
And can I say this too? I've had people argue with me when, you know, just telling them about God. And they say, well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible. I'm like, well, that's not what I'm here talking to you about. I'm here telling you Jesus Christ is your Savior.
That's right.
Can I tell you something? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your spirit wasn't alive. You wouldn't walk in and do the things of the and the Word. I don't argue whether the Bible is true with people when I'm trying to get them saved. I just tell them what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And when you hear that, that is what draws your spirit. The Bible says when the name of Jesus is lifted up, I draw all men. I pull everyone, all of mankind in. So when I'm talking overseas to a radical Muslim, I'm not trying to convince him that the Bible is the true word of God. They hold their Quran up. I've had this happen. This is the true word of Allah. I said, Jesus Christ died for your sake. I don't believe the Bible. I said, I'm not asking you to believe the Bible. I'm telling you that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
That is what brings people into the kingdom. Yeah. When they believe that, they open themselves up for the manifestation of the word of God.
Amen.
They open themselves up. Now listen to this, after this. So after believing, are you ready? With the mouth, confession made, resulting in the manifestation of the word.
Amen.
Resulting in the salvation of your soul. This is exactly how God created the world. He believed something. He spoke it. It came to pass. Not only did it come to pass, he called it good. God gave us the shining example of how faith works in the beginning. God said, and there was. God said, and there was. God said, and there was. He believed something. He spoke it. Can I say this too? This is where the church has messed up with the word of faith message or with the faith message. They have said, if I just say it enough, I'll believe it. No. That goes back to works. That you're right back into works.
Right.
You're right back in the Word. You can't say it enough to believe it. You get in the Word. If you've accepted Jesus, I just need more faith. I just need more faith. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. You believed in your heart. You confessed Him as Lord. It has manifested in your life. Everything else comes the same way. So if you need faith in an area, you find scriptures in that area. You believe the scriptures. You confess the scriptures. It results in you believing and the manifestation of your faith. Your confessing does not bring anything into manifestation. It's your believing and your confessing. Paul stated it this way: I believe, therefore I have spoken. You sit down with people, you talk to people in crisis, you'll see what they believe. You see what when people are under pressure, you will see what they believe, because that is what is coming out of their mouth. Well, I just don't know what's going to happen to us. It looks grim. It looks bad. Well, yeah, okay, you're looking. Now, what does faith say? I know my Lord shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know God will not forsake me. He does not leave me. The Bible says, even though I would make my bed in the belly of hell, the Lord will be there. He will be with me. He will see me. He will guide me, direct me. I lean not into my own understanding, but I acknowledge him in all my ways, and he will direct my path. Even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I shall fear no evil. God will direct you. God will bring you through. So you begin to speak the word. First, put the word on the inside of you. Speak the word, and it'll come to pass. You don't speak a word that someone else spoke just because they spoke it. Now, if you have the same revelation, that's fine. Because sometimes I found that other ministers put something a little more classier and well put together than I do. They say, I say it one way, and I sound like a hillbilly from the backwoods, and they say it one other way, and they sound all educated, and I take what they say, because it sounds better. But I have the same scriptures or the revelation knowledge on it. But if you say something that a minister has stated just because he stated, and you ain't got the scripture on the inside of you to back it up, you won't get the same results. And that's what's been happening too many times. I'm going to make a positive confession. I'm going to confess it. Well, you ain't got the word in the inside of you to confess it to begin with. Faith works by the power of the word. He sent the word to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. It is the word that will heal your heart. It is the word that will heal you from sin. Hallelujah. It is the word. So it's the word, and then as we put the word in us, the Bible shows us the next logical step to believing and having the word on the inside of you is speaking the word. That is the next logical step to the word of God. It's placing it in your heart and speaking it with your mouth. That is the process, the walk of faith. So, oh my goodness. Have you turned to John 20? All right, I'm not going to read it, but John 24 through 29, because of time. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell you about it. Thomas, we all know doubting Thomas. So Jesus visits the disciples. Thomas is not there. What a really bad time not to be tardy. Sometimes I feel that way when people come in late to church. They're like, what a horrible day to be late. When you had such a powerful time in praise and worship, or powerful time right at the beginning. Don't be late. You don't want to be late to church. You'll miss half your life. And so Thomas here, he missed it. And they tell him about the good things of God. Jesus showed up. What did Thomas say? I won't believe it until I can put my finger inside of saying, I seen the man die. Can you imagine that? I mean, come on. The disciples had to be overwhelmingly excited. Not a little excited. We're not talking like, you know, God took a headache away from them or cured a toothache. And that's exciting enough. But we're talking about the man raised from the dead. Everything he told them that would come to pass came to pass. And they didn't understand it when he was dying on the cross, when he hung on the cross. They did not understand it. But all of a sudden they get the manifestation of it. And a light bulb goes off. They understand it. Thomas, we've seen Jesus. He said he went to hell. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He rose again. Everything he said, Thomas, come to pass. Hallelujah. Thomas said, y'all have smoked something in this place. Like, what did y'all drink? Did y'all have another Last Supper? What's going on here? Thomas is like, let me tell you something, boys. I saw him die. I saw his body. I'll tell you what, I'll believe you when I can stick my finger in his hands and my hand. They stabbed him with a spear. I saw that. They stabbed him with a spear. They cut open, not a little, but enough that my hand can go in his side. So until my finger touches the holes in his hand and my hand slides into his side, I will never believe what you have to say. You're ridiculous. You're absolutely out of your mind. And the Bible lets us know this happened for 8 days. 8 days. more days. He made that statement, and then for 8 days, he hung around people that were excited. Can you imagine for 8 days what the conversation had to be among the disciples? Be like, Jesus rose from the grave. I bet they were going out of their mind. I would have. Think about your greatest. This is how I have to relate to it. Ladies, think about maybe for you, maybe it was a sale on a handbag. I don't know. I have no idea what you get excited about. Men, think about like the greatest Super Bowl game you've ever seen in your life. That does not even compare to Jesus raising from the grave. But you talked about it for days. Talked about the catch, the pass, the Hail Mary. You talked about it. It was amazing. Could you imagine somebody who didn't see the games? That didn't happen. Our ladies, you got that sale on a Gucci handbag. I don't know what's popular. Forgive me. Coach, I don't know. What do y'all shop for? I don't know. Whatever it is. Imagine that if somebody marked it down to $10, it was a mistake, but the store had to give it to you for that price. And you got it, and you told your friend, those purses are $500. When I found out they were $500 purses, I swallowed my gum. I mean, like, you had it in your mind. There are diaper bags that are $1,000. That is insane. Not me, but that is insane. That's just me. I'm sure you probably think that about maybe some of my computers, but bags, that's insane to me. But some people, that makes perfect sense. I don't know. Maybe you can explain it to me after church. But imagine that you bought that purse for $10 and you told your friend, you did not. That's a lie. That is a lie. Or maybe you're trying to tell your husband you brought it. Look, here's it. What did you pull that sticker off of? What did you pull that sticker off of? Trying to convince, this is Thomas, this is Doubting Thomas. He said, bull, for 8 days, 8 days they tried to convince Thomas that Jesus rose from the grave. No. 8 days later, Jesus manifests in front of Thomas. He said, Thomas, stick your fingers through the holes of my hand. Stick your hand in my side. And then what did Thomas do? He believed. He believed. And what was Jesus' answer to him? Thomas, you believe because you've seen with your own natural eyes. And this is talking about you here. Blessed are those. More blessed are those who believe who have not seen. Who have not seen. God is saying, you are more blessed than Thomas. Because you accepted it with your spirit. Your spirit, something you heard about Jesus. And something on the inside of you just pulled toward that. Which is scriptural because the Bible says when we lift up the name of Jesus, mankind is drawn unto him. So all of a sudden, Jesus is talked about. The Son of God dying for your sin. That it's not a work, it's not about what you can do, but it's about what God did for you. And then your spirit just lights up on the inside of you and says, that's it. That's the truth. Your mind is even fighting with your spirit at the time. How can this be true? I don't know, but I feel it with every fiber on the inside of me. I know it. I know it. And then so all of a sudden you believe, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. And then you're told either you confess it with your mouth naturally by yourself or whatever, however it happened, whether it was on TV, whether it was at a church or whether it was a friend sharing it with you, you all of a sudden confess Jesus was your Savior. And all of a sudden out of the fog, everything became so clear. I'm not saying you knew everything in the Bible, but all of a sudden life had a purpose. All of a sudden life had a point. All of a sudden I could see clearly. I knew that I was saved. I knew I was on the right track. The word exploded on the inside of me. I couldn't devour it enough. Life was great. I'm trying to think of the song. What a wonderful day. My, oh, my, my. All of a sudden on the inside of you, life just changed. You could see the birds. You could hear the noises. You knew God loved you. You knew you were in the place, and it was clear. And maybe through time of the world and going to work that some things became foggy, that people at your workplace or your family are beginning to question your faith, and you didn't know the answers, so some things became foggy. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. To get unfoggy, to get out of the fog, to get out of that, you got to go all the way back to how you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You believed it. You confessed it. It was clear. You want clarity on a subject? Get the word on the inside of you, and believing it comes natural because your spirit has become alive, and then speak what it is that you believe. That is how your faith walk
works. Can it be that easy? Yes, it is.